Thank you very much, Tuan, for that moving delivery. We have the floor open for questions. Anybody wants to make a start? Is the mic, sir?
Yeah, the mic, sir. Let me get the mic, please.
Doing if you have spoken to other media like BBC.
Oh yes,
had a chance.
Yeah. But you see the thing I really wanted most, you see, is to deliver this my own way to the media. But when you're actually being interviewed, they will ask you the questions they want to ask, you see. But by and large, yes, we have. Yeah.
Anybody else?
I should first really thank you, although these are the realities that we all know, and we know that they are in the back of all news and they won't say it. But it was very moving to see that you have been there, and I really thank God to see you here as such a courageous woman to do this research and be there. I wish we could, at least some of us could do that, like you. My question on the whole is, do you think it's getting worse, or has it been any improvement on really trying to make some sort of friendship, something, or is there anything that there would be helping with the peace in your idea?
I think that I think there were good things happening, because now more people understand what's happening to Palestine, and the Palestinians have got more friends. It is also becoming worse in the sense that the physical oppression and the physical brutality on them is a lot worse. But I think my Palestinian friends always say, Alhamdulillah, we are a strong people, and God will give us strength to carry on, you see. So that's the way it is. And I think no matter how I feel or how we feel, how depressed we feel, you know, we just have to carry on, because for them there's no choice. For me there's a lot of choice. I can choose to switch off and maybe not to listen to the news, or to shut my brain for as long as I like. But for them, there's no choice. Every day, their homes are being broken into. Every day there's Israeli soldiers, and every day something happens, their children get killed, or their husbands get put in prison. And in Lebanon, the refugees still won't be able to go home. So I think it's a long, long road, but it is important that we travel along with them.
Anybody else?
When you came back training, you went back to your church, could you explain to the people there what happened and could they accept it?
No, they knew that something terrible has happened, and they prefer not to talk about it. But actually, the church has improved. There's still that kind of extreme right-wing fundamentalist Christian church who will not listen. But by and large, most kind of mainstream Christians, Anglican church and so on, begin to understand the situation, and there are quite a few clergymen and so on who realize that it's important to reach out and be peaceful and be friends. So it's improved in that way. Oh, my church, a lot of my friends still won't talk to me. Sorry.
Yes. Thank you very much for your... Thank you very much for your very excellent presentation. It was quite moving, although we have seen it before in other ways. My question, I understand you are an orthopedic doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is quite a strong Jewish doctors' lobby. Have you had an opportunity of showing this or sharing your experiences with them, and what has been their response?
Wow. Well, I was surprised that the London Hospital appointed me. I was really surprised. Because when I came back, of course, I had all kinds of problems, but I was not too interested. I was going around the world, you know, lecturing on Palestine, campaigning all the time. I spent a long time doing that. And then, so I don't lie, I put it in my CV. 1982, went out to work in refugee camps and Israeli Karma Commission, witness, and then founding member, trustee of Medical Aid for Palestinians. So it's all there. So sometimes I get trouble. I remember one particular job interview. I was the most suitable candidate, and I was told that the consultant, the senior chap there is Jewish, and he delayed the appointment for many, many months, though the management were angry with him. So he called me up and said, look, can we talk? You and I alone, nobody. I said, fine, all right, sat down. I said, look. I said, yes. And he said, my brother lives in a kibbutz. He sleeps with a gun on his bed all the time. And he hates Palestinians. And I don't need you to bring in the Middle East conflict into my hospital. I said, wait. I said, I'm not bringing any Middle East conflict in the hospital. I think if you feel so uncomfortable about me, then I will withdraw. I don't need your job. If you mean I got to shut up, I won't. You see? You can't give me a job and ask me to shut up. I will continue speaking. That's the way it is. And of course, in the London hospital, they all know where I come from. It was very funny because last year, a Palestinian medical student came to do a posting with me. And he was from Jerusalem. So I said, right, this is Viraz. He's from Jerusalem. And immediately my colleague said, ah, which Jerusalem? I said, wait a minute, don't ask political questions. So they all kept quiet, so it's fine. Yeah. I think they need to come around. They know it, but it's very hard to switch. Because many people for all the years have made a stand supporting Israel or with Jewish influence and so on and so forth. So it's very hard for them to openly turn around. But you can see that their hearts are changing.
Hello, I really enjoyed your talk. I'm a Jewish person. I belong to an organisation called Jews for Justice of Palestinians, and I agree with you that I think there are a lot of Jewish people out there who go to synagogue and are not happy about the situation in Israel, but they find it hard to speak out. But I'd just like to just make two other points. The older I get, I realise how complex the world is, and things aren't black and white. And my understanding of the Shatila thing was obviously it was completely aided, abetted by Israel, but there were but also, and I'd like you to comment on this, it was Lebanese Christian phalangists. There was a sort of civil war going on in Lebanon at the time, and the ruling class in Lebanon, who were Christian, as I understand it, had their own agenda with the PLO refugee camps, and Sharon aided and abetted and allowed them to come in, but they were as complicit in actually doing the slaughtering. Now, this is an apology for anything that's happening in Israel. I'm just saying life is complicated. And one other final point, this is very ironic, I went on holiday to Egypt at the beginning of this year. It was, we had a bit of a cruise down the Nile, and I was in quite a mixed group. There were some Americans there, very right-wing fundamentalist Americans. We had an Egyptian tour guide with us, Khalid, who was a moderate Muslim. It's very interesting, our last day in Cairo, he took us around some of the mosques, sort of beautiful mosque in Cairo. And I had an opportunity, we was on the boat, and the very right-wing American fundamentalists were obviously totally in support of Israel, and I, as a Jew, although I'm a secular Jew, was sort of arguing on the point of the Palestinians. But Khalid, who is an Egyptian, took me aside afterwards, and he said, I think you ought to know that a lot of ordinary Egyptians in Egypt, absolutely fed up with all the Palestinians that we've been supporting as couples refugees and are living in Egypt. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we feel, you know, we've been very hospitable to them for 25, 30 years or whatever, and, you know, they take all their money and they live here on our behalf and So I'm just saying, this is an Egyptian, life's complicated, but we're on the same side.
You want me to answer that?
I'm
okay. Yeah, all right. To start off with, the massacre itself, right? Now, I use the word gunmen. I never use the word Israelis who shot people, okay? Because until today, I really do not know who these gunmen are. Now, if you know a lot about Lebanon, if they were the Christian militia, the Qataibs, the Maronites, then they're independent Lebanese. But if they were the Hadats, which are the South Lebanese army, they take orders directly from Israel. So I really do not know. I've got my own theories. I've written in a book. I've submitted it to the current commission. Right. So it is different. So like the same thing in the occupied Palestinian territories, they have got the border police who are actually Arabic Druze. Yeah, you see? So, but they take orders directly from the IDF. So, they were vicious, and I suspect that a lot of the brutality were committed by them. I've got no proof, but that's what I think. But in the ultimate analysis, they're entirely answerable to the IDF. Like that morning, when we were marched out by a group of gunmen with no insignia, because I was trying to work out whether they were Lebanese Christian militia, the Qataibs from the mountains, or whether they were Hadats, which are the South Lebanese army. Because we know that if it is South Lebanese army, the Israelis will be able to stop us being killed by them. But if they're Christian militia, independent, then we're sunk. But that group that actually hijacked us out, obeyed the Israelis, and took us out straight to the Israeli High Command. So there was a lot of collaboration going on. That's not to say the Lebanese are not guilty, that is, because in 2 years ago, I went back to Shatila to do a BBC program on the 20th anniversary of the massacre, and we actually met up with one high-level militiaman. Yeah, so there was a lot going on. And the right-wing Christian militiamen are really nasty. I'm not saying that. Yeah, you know, it's historical hatred. But in the army like that, you see, the IDF, even in 1982 in Lebanon, had a very good name. Because most people believe that they can trust the IDF. Nobody can trust the Qataibs. Nobody can trust anybody else. But they think the IDF is just, and it's a disciplined army. That's the perception of the Palestinians, even at that point, until the massacre was over. So I'm not pinning blame, I think there are investigations going on, but whoever is in charge has to be responsible. Now, on the question of Palestinians living it up in Egypt or all over the Gulf, there are lots of them. I am not blind to the fact. But still, no matter what you say, there are all these Palestinian refugees who need a kind of something, it needs addressing. The very fact that some of them are rich and nasty, I mean, rich people are not very nice people anyway, I hope I'm not being offensive. So when Palestinians become very rich, I think they become horrible too. I'm not surprised, okay? So, but we are talking about these people in refugee camps who has got no rights, who has got no future, who has to have their basic agenda addressed. And I think that's important. And sometimes I get sick of wealthy Palestinians too. And I ask myself, why don't they do something for their own people? Why should I go to the high streets and get a can and get the little old ladies, you know, from Oxford and all that to put money in so that I can send medicine to the refugee camps, you see? You know, but I'm not talking about Palestinians with Palestinians or Arabs or Muslims. I'm talking about we as human beings relating to each other. And I'm quite sure when you are relating to Palestinians, when you are speaking up for them, you're not thinking of you being a Jew. I hope, you know, you are addressing the basic issue of injustice, of human rights, and of trying to build something for the new generation. And I think that's the way I see it.
Anybody else? Okay. Sir?
What's the best way to help? What do you suggest one can do?
I think the first thing is to understand the situation. And if you understand the situation, then you will want to help. There are many levels, you see. I mean, I'm a medical person, so we deal with medical aid and so on. But if you are in other things, you like to teach and so on, there are lots of education programs for the Palestinians that you can participate with. And also, basically, I think I'm very happy that, you know, our Jewish friends are here, and to establish dialogue so that you get building bridges and talking to each other, so that it's not based on misunderstanding and, you know, people are trying to put up the wall. Maybe we should try and take it down. I don't mean a concrete wall, I mean a wall dividing people. So perhaps we can try and build bridges to unite them. That's also one way to help.
Thank you very much for that very interesting presentation. What I wanted to ask was, when you were there as a volunteer doctor, were there any other doctors from other parts of the world? And if so, what were the nationalities and religion?
Oh, it's very, very multinational. But at a time when during the Israeli invasion, it got a big problem because Arabic doctors can't get in. In fact, there were about 400 Arabic, Muslim, Middle Eastern doctors all stuck in Damascus. Can't get into Lebanon because all the checkpoints were closed.
Were there any Muslims who were non-Arabic speaking?
The nurse that was shot, the picture I showed, is from Bangladesh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And also there are doctors and so on. But most of them have got passports from either UK or USA, that kind of thing.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for that nice talk, and we hope to see you again sometimes.
Thank you very much.